Let's ask the Lord to help us to understand this. It's a really important lesson. And Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your Bible. That it's true from cover to cover, and we can put our lives on it. Thank you, Lord, that you are so interested in us, that you want to save us, and you want to live within us, and you want to guide us and direct us. What an amazing Savior you are. And I pray today, Lord, that you speak to each of our hearts, and that each of us would go home with something very special from this lesson. And I pray, Lord, that you just keep my voice and my cough at bay, and I'll simply give you all the praise for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have a confession to make. I took a course at Redwood Chapel 42 years ago. It was called an evangelistic course in how to witness to other people, and part of it was the Roman Road. Now, I've been... I have been corrected by Jane Morehouse that I had left a big chunk of the road out. So I wanted to get that straight before I went any other place. Romans 3:23, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8, I didn't give you. It's not in my pea brain, even when she gave it to me. So I don't know, but I need to give it to you, but God does. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. And then Romans 6:23, the wage of sin is death, gift of God is eternal life. And Romans 8:1, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus Christ. And then today's, that is the Roman road. And if you memorize those verses, then if you're with somebody that needs to have those truths, you'll be able to whip it out even if you don't have your Bible. That's why memory work is so important. Well, we're looking at the final division of the book of Romans. The first eight chapters were all doctrinal, and we kind of squeaked along with those. And then 9 through 11 had to do with Israel. And it's like Paul got to this point, and people would say, well, I know all of this, but now what do I do? And so chapters 12 and on will be dealing with Christian conduct. It's pretty simple, except the lessons are so hard. That's why. Seems simple on paper, doesn't it? So, and my thought is, why in the world would God want our bodies? It's got B.O. It snores. It's often overweight. It has a dirty mind. And it has arthritis. And saggy boobs, double chin, hot flashes, bladder control, cellulite, bunion, backache, hemorrhoids, dry skin, gray hair. Memory loss, oh, that's a good one. Hearing loss. And this is a little doll that you can get at the Village Crafters, and it's supposed to have a pin in it. So when you stick in the pin, that means that thing is supposed to go away. However, my cat, Buffy, he's a very large cat, he carries this around the house.
Buffy has problems too.
Yes. And I always thank him when he brings it to me. Thank you, Buffy, for the dolly. So, he's quite a character. Well, I like to tell the Lord I can worship him in my spirit and my soul. But you want my body? Especially mine. It's all shot to pieces. God says, bring me your body. I know all about your body. I know more about it than you do. And remember, by the means of the cross and the Holy Spirit, I have made your body whole, holy, and pleasing to God. Bring me your body with all its temptations and limitations. Bring it just the way it is. I know what affects you. I am the answer to your problems. You can't handle those problems by yourself. Jesus said, come to me. And I will use your body wherever you go. I will bring peace and give joy to heal hurts. Two things that you must do is don't be conformed to the pattern or the mold of the world. And the other thing is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Those two things are commandments, and they're in the present tense in the Greek. So it's a thing that has to be done over and over again. However, you only have to present your body once and give it to the Lord. The other things need to be ongoing. Because the world really pulls at us from everything, from television to advertisement to, well, you know better than I do, well, you know as well as I do. So bring your body and give it to God and base the rest of your life on that commitment. Then go out and renew your mind daily. Do not be conformed to the world system. Now, worship doesn't start or stop in church. It's what you do with your body 24/7. And God says, if you try to control your body, you'll misuse it and abuse it. You'll misuse it. And it was for things that was never intended. And I put down here, we use all kinds of lotions, and we use paint, and we use bras, we use arch supports, and there's just not enough scotch tape to keep it all together. And it doesn't improve. So give it back to God. What is this world system? It's the spirit of the age. I think I got one. Kleenex someplace too. It's the spirit of the age, and it's what our age is dictating today is advancement of self. We even have magazines that are called Self or Us, and but God says the reason for life is to serve God and to advance Him, His will, and not your own. I think that's what was so special about Bobby when I asked her to share after Christmas how this woman that she had worked with for 5 years had thrown things at her and slapped her. And she invited this woman, I think she's in her 70s or late 60s, home for Christmas. That woman heard the story of Christmas from the scriptures for the very first time and was treated beautifully. And that is really loving your enemy. And what a change that takes place in that lady's life. And I just praise God for that. And I think that's what you and I need to be looking for, is to how we can affect others around us by being obedient to the Lord. That's all Bobby was doing. And that, Pat, could you get me some hot water? Well, you sure talked a lot about mercy in your lesson. But we all like to hear about mercy because the opposite of that is justice. So we like that on our enemies, but we want God to treat us with mercy. So we really have to see it for all it's worth. Now in the present, we present our bodies live, and that little fill in the blank should have been dead. And you say, no, wait a minute, I took the animal down to the temple, it was still walking. And I'd say, yeah. And if you look at it to that position, the animal is walking. Now, the first one in Leviticus is the bull. And if you were really wealthy, you would raise this animal, and then you would take it down to the temple, and you would present it to the priest, and he would look over the animal, see there's no blemish, and then you would lay your hands on top of the head of the animal and confess your sins into that animal. And then the priest would hand you the knife and slit, and you would slit the throat, and the priest would gather the blood, and then he would sprinkle the blood around the altar, and then he would take your animal, and in the first chapter of Leviticus, that's all consecration, and then he would take this animal and put it on the altar. So by the time it got to presenting it to God, it was dead. It's tough. I am so glad we're not under that system. That it was all fulfilled when Jesus died on the cross. You have to remember that was not for intentional sin. Intentional sin had a far greater punishment on it. You would be stoned to death if you did anything intentionally. This was all for unintentional sin. That's kind of overwhelming, isn't it? So I think the people on the Lord's Day would have been pretty careful. Well, I gave you some verses in 1 Samuel that had to do with obeying the Lord. And I just wanted to take it back into that period of time. That's 1 Samuel 15. Just because it's some... we need to look at how serious sin is. Saul is the king. He has been appointed king because he's tall, dark, and handsome. That's it. He was from the tribe of Benjamin, and the people wanted a king to represent them, so they selected tall, dark, and handsome Saul. But Saul wasn't too in touch with the Lord, although he had everything David had. He was anointed, he had the Holy Spirit, and he kind of blew it. And Samuel is the king and prophet, and he's the prophet and priest, and he tells Saul to go and slaughter the Amalekites. And that was a command from God. He was to slaughter them all, including the animals. And so Saul has this great army, and he goes out, and he slays everybody but the king, King Agag. He brings back, I think, as a trophy. And then his men decide to bring back the animals. And then Samuel says, obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed, to listen, than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. Now Saul agrees with that, but who did he fear? The next couple of verses say, I feared the people. And boy, when we start trying to please people, is when we get in so much trouble in our Christian walk. So I just wanted to take a minute to point that out. That comes out of pure disobedience. And then part of your memory verse was talking about a reasonable service. And what I got out of that meant logical or sensible. It's the sensible thing to do, to commit your body to the Lord, to commit your life to the Lord. It's sensible, makes good sense. Well, what does the world try to do? It tries to conform you to its desires, and the desires, of course, are about self. What's in it for me? How much can the government give me? Or how much can I get away with at the store that I might not be charged for? It's me, all the way. And what's good? Well, we had one of our discussion leaders yesterday shared this, and I wanted to share it with you. I thought she hit it, the nail on the head. She put down... what I value. Well, what does the world value? It values unearned wealth, unmerited praise, heroes without honor, beauty without character, luxury as a necessity. Oh, that was good. Then she says, now, how I pursue what I value. Do I do it at risk or chance rather than labor? Or do I use dishonesty or depriving others of needs so I can have my wants? Selfishness. But her best line is this: what I love influences me. TV, books, music, movies, travel, crafts, you name it. And I think that's where it's very sobering. What I love. Ice cream. Cake. No. But you can see that. You know, I try to prepare my lesson well in advance so I can do something on Monday night. I like 24. And my husband wasn't home last night, so as soon as he got in, what happened? You know? So, anyway, I suppose I love that, but I love the mystery of it, and the drama is wonderful, and it's very up to date with how we live. Anyway, there's another word you can use for presenting or presenting your body, and that means to yield. Yield yourself. Live, not dead. Now, on occasion when I get up in the morning, I tell the Lord, I think I'm half dead. Well, I think I'm mostly dead. But he gets me going. And then, don't worry about that word holy. Remember, God wants to make us whole. That's his part. But holy is when we set ourselves apart for God's use. And that's why you were created, and that's why you were born again for God's use. Well, the Old Testament system covered sin, but Jesus removes sin. So when you stand before him one day and you say, "Oh God, you remember I had an affair, or I had an abortion," or, and the Lord will say to you, "I don't remember that." That's how beautiful the Lord is. So, well, we don't want to be conformed to the world, and the best thing I think to do is what Charlotte did. Write a list down of the things you really love, and then see, could you live without those? And, or are they influencing you negatively? Anyway, it's 1 John 2:15 comes to my mind. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And it's all passing away. It's just amazing how much value or desire or whatever we put in things that are all passing away. Transform your mind. Renew it. And that comes through getting in the Word of God. And I just have to tell you that this is something I came to grips with very early on in my Christian walk, is that the Bible is totally trustworthy from the first page to the last page. It's not something you can take a little bit here and a little bit there and toss it out. Some liberal scholars went through the New Testament and decided there was only two words in it that were accurate, and that is Jesus wept. And I thought, what a tragedy. It's the living word. It has the capability of changing your life, and that's where your mind needs to be, because it will cleanse your mind. I hope you all have read it through the Bible at least once. And I used to do it every year. Now I've got another little system going. But you need to know it backwards and forwards. And if you have trouble with the New King James, King James, NIV, or whatever, just use the Living Bible. Use something simple so that you can get it under your belt, what the Word of God is all about. And then it has that little line, not to think more highly than you ought to think. And I think, well, God gave me 6 kids, so I wouldn't ever think more highly than I ought to think. They have a marvelous way of keeping you very humble, especially when they remember things from their past, and, you know, I don't even have it in my brain, let alone what it was. But none of us have any place to brag, because we are all of Adam's lost race. And if God has given you some gift to use, it's from him. And everything we have is from him. And isn't that wonderful? He's allowing the rain and the snow to come. Those are such good gifts. And then we're to think soberly by our, about ourselves. You know, I just have written down, seriously, take what you think about yourself very seriously. And then we get into the gifts of the church. And we had a good question come in the question box. But before I get to that, anybody in here that's over 65, if you want a good view of the church, go in your bathroom, take all your clothes off, and look in the mirror. That's how the church looks, with all its wrinkles and warts I try to avoid the mirror when I get out of the shower. But I thought that's really a good example of what the church looks like. It's amazing to me how much the Lord can get done, anything done. It's amazing. But the question was, are all these spiritual gifts still around? For example, the gift of miracles or speaking in tongues or the apostles or healing. And I like that question because it's of my opinion, my observation, that yes, all those things are around. It's shifted somewhat. Today we would call the apostles missionaries, not apostles. That only apostles only refer to the 12. And I've seen many healings. In fact, I hope my throat will heal soon. You know, God gave us a marvelous body that can do a lot of healing on its own. And I'm not going to deny anybody that speaks in tongues. That's what God gave them. Then be very careful how you use it. I don't happen to have that gift, but I have several friends that do, and I just think they're right on. Well, I gave you a little thing to take home, and if you've never taken a little gift test, you can do that on your own. The answers are on the second page. But this I'm taking from Basic Youth Advanced Seminar, and he has it, and I agree with this because the longer I observe people, the more I think this is so true, is that God has given you a motivational gift. Mine happens to be prophecy. But if yours is exhortation, then you might take it and use it as a teacher, and then you might manifest it in all these different ways. So, I've seen myself just go right into different modes real easy. Using the word prophet, or prophet here, or prophecy means to foretell of the word. And I'm not a teacher, because teachers are very much detail-oriented. They want to tell you how wide the Jordan River is, or how deep it is. I could care less. So my lessons, as you've observed, are more personal in nature, because I want the Word of God to get into your life and into you, and so that you begin to see how it works out in your family and in you. You know, so many Bible studies are all about, well, I won't get into that, but you need to be in the Word. So this kind of gives you an idea. This person is gifted with exhortation, uses the platform of teaching, and all these other things may manifest itself through that. It's fairly easy. I think these are right out of Romans. You have a longer list in Corinthians. When I was in a church some years ago, the pastor fell, and it was covered up for 5 years. And then the lady that had the affair with him let it come to light. And I had this is when gifts really came in handy. I had a huge question mark, because if everybody in the church is born again and has the Spirit of God, why aren't we looking at this thing the same way? So it's your gift is how you will see it. If God has given you the gift of mercy, then you're going to say, oh, let's forgive him and keep him here, you know. And my blockhead prophecy would say, absolutely not. That's not, he's done something to against the word, etc. So this is why it's really easy. This lady has brought this beautiful cake to the table, and it's fallen off the table, and you will see yourself so easy. Prophet says, that's what happens when you're not careful. I know I would say that. But if you're a teacher, you see, you could say the reason that it fell, that it was too heavy on one side. Or the organizer, Jim, you get the mop, please help me pick it up, and Mary, help me fix another dessert. And of course, this is so fun, because we can really see where we fall into a particular category. And this is a good one. Charlotte fell and broke her leg in 3 places, and is in a mess. And this is my gift down here, which is not a good one when somebody's ill. But I told the Lord, I said, Lord, Charlotte didn't need this. So what do I know, you know? So I was very, where is it? Mercy. I had tremendous mercy towards her, and went to see her a lot. And but see, a prophet really gets into trouble. What is God trying to say to you through this illness? She would smack me, I think. So, yeah, she can reach it. I try to sit a good distance from her. We have a lot of fun going around on things, but this is one that's not a joking matter. You know, it's a lot of pain. It's difficult. She's a very independent woman, and has a real mind of her own. But I love her to pieces. The reason gifts are so important and that you know what yours is because if you misuse it, it creates lots of problems. And in churches especially, there's two kinds of gifts. One is serving and the other one is speaking. And just because one person speaks doesn't mean that the other person that serves is any better than the other one. But so often happens in churches, if you're not under the control of the Holy Spirit, you can envy and gossip and on it goes. But we need all of these in our churches. Well-prepared sermons, someone that's serving. You need teachers for Sunday school. You need people that exhort because they make great counseling people. And mercy, we all need that, don't we? But when that's out of whack, someone may need the Word of God in season, and you come along and you just give them all this mercy, it's apt to create a greater problem. And then people that give and people that organize. As I say, one of those will be yours, and then you may use it in different ways. I think the best way to find out what your gift is to just go ahead and do something. God has given every born-again person a gift. And so you step out and you find where that is. I remember mine years and years ago, I was in VBS, and I was all set to do crafts. I love crafts, so I could hardly wait. But the lady that was going to be the teacher of the sixth grade ended up in the hospital, and I was handed the teaching materials and told, go to it. And I said, oh, I can't do that. But sure enough, I've been doing it ever since. And I've been learning a lot on the way. Anyway, anybody have any question regarding gifts? Or don't take yourself too serious. Yeah. Don't get your gift out of whack. And when you have a problem within a church, everybody's going to look at it differently because they'll look at the problem through their gift. And that's, yeah.
I'm trying to understand how we have the three columns. There's the motivation,
yeah,
of the gift, and then the ministry and the manifestation.
Right.
So if you think you've got two or three different gifts, are you really saying that there's one central gift?
Yes, yes. It really seems to be, from my observation. Now, you may be in a situation where you say, oh, I see how that's supposed to go together. I must have the gift organization. Not necessarily. You may be just working it through your other, you might be working it through the gift of serving. You see something that really needs direction, and then you use your motivation to get help, get something started, and then you work it out. I don't even think about gifts anymore, except I try to avoid misusing it. That takes is kind of full time. Yeah, well, I have six middle-aged kids right now. It's very interesting to watch. Anyway, I want to finish with 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is our God's. Thank you, Lord, that you are such a wonderful Savior, that you save us, and then you gift us, and that then you empower us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today that has not given their body, their life over to you, that today would be the day that they'd say, yes, Jesus, take my body with all its wrinkles and all the rest of it and use it for your glory, Lord. And help me not to be conformed to the world. Help me, Lord, to not love things in the world that when I should be loving you above everything. Help me to see that that's idolatry. And then, Lord, we pray that if there's anybody here that's been misusing their gifts, that they might take some time today to talk to you about that and to seek your forgiveness and to work within the body of Christ, wherever you have placed us, whatever church we're in, that we might be that sweet-smelling sacrifice to you, Lord, and walking hand in hand, filled with your Spirit to do the job, whatever that might be at hand. Lord, we're so easily distracted. We're so easily swayed by things that have no future in them, Lord. Help us to see things that are, have eternal value, that we might use our time, especially in the days ahead. Lord, it looks pretty dark in our country, and we need to be charged up, Lord, so that we can reach out and help others. God, just take us as we are, all of it, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.